I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Oh, praise God. If you've got a Bible then, would you turn to the book of John chapter 14? And I want to talk about Mother's Day today. I know that's not an original concept, but I'm going to preach on it as a part of our series in the Word of God about the peace that comes from a relationship with God. That peace that comes because of the Holy Spirit in our life, because His presence never leaves us nor forsakes us. The peace that comes not because He gives us peace, but because He is our peace. And in John chapter 14, Jesus gave His disciples some very important instructions and instructions regarding the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most important passages in the Bible regarding who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. And so the Bible in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you have it with me, would you read it together with me? It starts like this. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, and He lives with you and will be in you and not leave you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm sorry. I did something dangerous and looked up at the screen without my glasses on. That's why I stumbled. Stepped right on the best line of it. Let me say it again. I will not leave you as orphans. King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. But literally, the Greek word is orphanos. I will not leave you as somebody that doesn't have parents, that doesn't have somebody to care for them. And so today is Mother's Day. I take this day as a day to celebrate not just mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, but I take this day to celebrate all of the sisters that are a part of our fellowship. All of the ladies, whether or not you're old enough to have children yet, or whether or not you were able to have children. And there's a lot in the Bible, in the Gospels especially, that celebrate the role of women in the church. It was shocking to me to realize that in the days that the New Testament was written, even though you still will find some passages that to a modern ear sound a little bit old-fashioned with regards to women's rights, that if you think it's bad in what you read in the Gospel, you should have seen what the rest of the society was like. Did you know that outside of the Christian church, in the Roman culture, that men outnumbered women by 30%. Now, why is that? That's because in the Roman culture, it was very much valued to be a man and to have sons. And so they not only openly practiced abortion, but also infanticide. In fact, some of the stories of the early church were of the Christian women going on baby hunts and going around from door to door and rescuing little babies and adopting them in. And so conversely, that women in the church in the first century outnumbered men by 30% because of all of those adopted girls that came in. And so it's also true that in many parts of the Old Testament, you hardly ever hear a woman having a spoken line, let alone even being the subject of a verb in many cases. In the New Testament, it's a different story. There are stories not only of people like Jesus' mother Mary, but people like Mary Magdalene and Mary and Martha. Those are three different Marys, by the way. And all of the women that followed after Jesus and took care of them, they play a significant role in the Gospels. And in one of the places is in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out. The Bible says that the early church used to meet in the home of John Mark, who's the author of the book of Mark, whose name also was Mary, but they met in her home. So she was one of the early leaders. And so I noticed something interesting being an art student from way back in my younger years. A lot of the medieval and Renaissance art that was birthed of the Orthodox or the Catholic influence that depicts the day of Pentecost, it has one person in particular front and center. And here's one of those pictures. This is from a French artist named Jean Le Risteau. And notice who's at the middle of it amongst all of the other disciples, and the Holy Spirit is falling like fire on their head, is there is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, this isn't a message about elevating Mary. I know there are some traditions that do that a lot more than ours does. But I want to just stop before I move on and talk about the Holy Spirit and even how the Holy Spirit fits in with the whole idea of the Trinity. And before I say this, I'm going to tell you some things that have been debated throughout church history from the very first century, because we have the Father and we have the Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit. And from some of the very earliest centuries, people have begun to notice that things that the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit, that he's a comforter, that he's a teacher, that he's an advocate, they remind them of those particular qualities that God has put in the godly women that are in the church. Now, you can take this idea too far. In the 90s, there was a huge hot debate about things like the gender of the Holy Spirit. That idea never really made sense to me, because even when I call God the Father or the Son, I never think of it necessarily in terms of his gender, even though that's the kind of pronouns the Bible uses, because God is spirit. He transcends all those things. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that God, in the beginning, created both male and female in his image. And so both male and female carry aspects of God's character. And some are similar and some are complementary. Now, when you say something like that in today's day and age, very politically incorrect, even to suggest that there's some kind of natural distinction between maleness and femaleness. And in order for me to say anything complimentary about the sisters or about the mothers today, sooner or later you end up making generalizations. You know, you say things about women or about men that, of course, they're not true about every single person. Molly and I have several ways that we have role reversal in different areas. One in particular, I'm much more afraid of her hurting me than she is of me hurting her. And so not everybody fits into those stereotypes, but begin to notice something. And in particular, is the ancient Bible languages had gender attached to them. And so similar to in Spanish, sometimes it means something, sometimes it doesn't. But from the very earliest days of the church, people begin to notice the gender of certain words that have to do with the Holy Spirit. Now, before I say this, here's my disclaimer. I grew up as a young kid speaking Spanish. It never made sense to me why a pen is feminine and a pencil is masculine. You know, you figure that out and tell me why it is. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no logical reason for that other than just that's the way it is in Spanish. There are certain words that are just like that. Maybe way back in the origin of it or where it came from, there's a logic to it. But sometimes things just happen in language. Does that make sense? And so some of the church fathers made a really big deal out of the certain femininity or masculinity of certain words. For example, when John 14, Jesus says, "I will send you another comforter." The word is parakletos. I'll talk about what it means. Someone called to be alongside of me. And so variously, it's translated in different versions as comforter, which is the one I chose because it's the King James. But NIV says advocate. Some other translations say helper, or they say intercessor. All of those are great translations of that word. But one thing they noticed is that the word parakletos is masculine. And so some church fathers are saying, aha, there we have indisputable proof that the Holy Spirit is male and there's no femaleness in him. What they fail to recognize is Jesus goes on to say, who is the comforter is the Spirit that is with us, the Spirit of truth. Later on in John, he says he's the Holy Spirit. And so they say, okay, again, that doesn't prove anything because the Greek word pneuma is masculine. But what they don't remember is that Jesus wasn't speaking in Greek. He was speaking in Aramaic. And listen to this. The word spirit, in Hebrew, it's ruach. In Aramaic, which is very close, it's rucha. And both of those words, guess what, are feminine. The old word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, for the Spirit of God uses a feminine noun for it. Now, once again, does that prove anything? Does that prove that the Holy Spirit is female? Once again, I have to say, no, not really. Remember the pen and the pencil? Sometimes things just have things like that attached. But that alone was enough for some church fathers to begin to emphasize the role in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and to at least celebrate the fact that God has placed some incredible gifts in the women that are in our midst, and begin to correlate some of those things that the Holy Spirit does in our life, like comfort, like wisdom, like giving life to the things that the Holy Spirit does. Even so much so that there's one branch of the Christian church called the Syriac Orthodox Church, which is centered around Antioch, which was one of the very first earliest Christian church. Because Syriac was based on Aramaic, still today, their word for the Holy Spirit is feminine in its gender. And so they have much in their tradition that celebrates that aspect of the Holy Spirit. Now, I said this before I even started on this tirade. I'm not trying to introduce any new doctrines. I'm just talking about discussions people have had over the years. And I'm not here to introduce any new strange teaching. All I want to do is celebrate. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in our life and how many times the Holy Spirit has used the women in our lives to do some of his best work. Can anybody at least say amen to that? Is that God's Spirit is poured out on both male and female. The Apostle Peter quoted the prophet Joel when he says, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on both male and female, and they will prophesy, your sons and your daughters. And so the Holy Spirit uses us men, but he also uses greatly the women that are in our life. And one of those things is just in the whole idea of women and in their unique way, being the givers of life. Now, here's, and I feel like half of my message today is disclaimers. I understand that it's not the calling of every woman to have children. That's not an expectation. Not every have that call on their life. Not every woman has that ability biologically. But what we can say is that every single one of us is here today because of a woman. We were given birth by somebody. And so, and then we were raised by somebody as well. And for some of us, it was that same biological mother. For me, that was. For some of us, it was an adoptive mother or a grandmother or another person, maybe even a father. But somebody was that role in our life. And so what we can say is that being a mother is so much more than just giving physical childbirth. How many know that being a mom doesn't end when you leave the hospital? That's not when the job ends. That's when it begins. That's when the whole work of training and discipling and raising and imparting life and teaching simple things like don't reach out for the fire, like eat your vegetables, like things like listen to mommy if you want things to go well with you, and all of those things. There's so much of the wisdom of life that we learned before we ever got to school. So much of even just our understanding of what life is because of the presence of those people that raised us. And so in the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, and then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. There's something about that word breath, because the word in the Old Testament, that word ruach, which also means spirit, also means breath, also means that wind, that there's something that he breathed into us that is more than just the ability to be alive. It's more than just, friends, turning on the light switch and causing all of our neurons to fire and causing us to be physically alive. But there's the Holy Spirit gives us that power to be alive. The Holy Spirit is that breath of life within us. And so, you know, for Molly and I, we have a different route to childbirth. And some of you understand this. And I'll never forget years ago, a dear friend of ours that we were doing some business with finally came to church one Sunday. She was a single person, and she came to church, and the Sunday she happened to stop by was Mother's Day. So I spent the whole Sunday morning talking about mothers and children and about motherhood and all this. And I looked back, and she just cried through the whole service. And I went to her afterwards, and she goes, "I don't know if you realize this, but I've had 3 miscarriages." And so that really hit home. And, oh, my heart just broke. I just remember, for every single woman, not everybody's experience is the same. Not everybody's experience, even with their own biological mother, is the same. There are many things that can get broken in those relationships. Some of us are thinking about the loss of a mother right now here today. But whatever it is, friends, I know that God has a purpose and a plan and an ability to bring healing and wholeness through the relationships that are in our life. So Molly and I, we tried for several years. As soon as we got here, Pastor, we'd only been married for less than a year. And we were trying to have kids, and it didn't work. And finally, I began to travel and to go get medication to try some different treatments. And I'll never forget that season, how heart-wrenching it was. Every time we tried another regimen and it didn't work, we got another pet. And so eventually I said, you know, we've got to find another solution. Either that or I have to build a barn on the side of our house, because we have a cat and a dog and bunny rabbits and all sorts of things running around in our house now. And sooner or later, we're going to have to find a solution. Well, guess what? We found a solution. The miracle for our family was adoption. Not everybody's called to do that. But now it's a different story in our household. Now we have a whole house full of kids, 4 teenagers cooped up in the same household for all of these weeks. So let me just tell you, if you're one of those that's feeling really extra lonely and your kids have left or you don't have kids yet, if you need a couple of extra teenagers in your house, I know where you can get a couple really cheap. You know, they're not super obedient, but they're housebroken for the most part. And so anyway, just let me know, just an idea. But we used to just long for that fullness of kids in our household. And now we've got plenty. I love every one of them, and I'm so glad for them. But we've just been spending time getting to know each other and hanging out at dinner time and just being together. And you know what? It wasn't because of biological birth that God put us in a family. It's because of that love that ties us together and that relationship. There's so much more than just biological childbirth. And that's not saying that's not the wonderful miracle that it is. Because as soon as that child is born, that's when motherhood begins. God's Spirit moves through us, you and me, through our mothers, through our wives, through our sisters. And His Spirit moves through us to bring life into all of those that are around us. In John chapter 3, Jesus said this. Will you read it with me? Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And I'll never forget being in Sunday school and the teacher asked, "What does that mean to be born of water and spirit?" Well, the most logical answer for me was it must be talking about water baptism and spirit baptism. And by the way, there's some that believe that as well. The best guess, and this is a kind of a difficult one to translate, but when Jesus is talking about being born of water, he's talking about natural childbirth. That breaking of water. He's talking about being born into the world. But he said you can't enter the kingdom until first you're born naturally, but then you must also be born spiritually into the kingdom. You be brought into that relationship with the Holy Spirit, with fellowship, with the family, being in a part of something that's bigger than you. It's not just about being a human being, but it's about being a part of the body of Christ. Anybody with me? Say amen. You know, I'm convinced, and I guess prophetically I'm believing this, because I cannot wait to be back together with everybody in person. I really miss being together. You have to understand, I've been going to church since before I was born. I can't remember the last time I was out of church on a Sunday morning. It's just a part of who I am. And we've been surviving. The Lord has been so good. And, you know, the sun has been out, which has helped me with my mental health. But there's just something about getting together on Sunday morning, and it's about my natural rhythm of how I relate to God and to people and to the world. It really does build me up and strengthen me. So I can't wait to be together again. But in the meantime, we've discovered this strange little app that not very many people knew about before this called Zoom. Now, it's not the only one, but how many wish right now that you had bought stock in Zoom before this whole thing broke out? Because there's nobody that doesn't know what Zoom is now. And we can gather together and not just talk on the phone, but we can see each other. Messy hair and all. We can see how are you doing, and we can see people's expressions. You know, most of communication is nonverbal, and on the phone you can't see what anybody's doing. They can be making faces at you, you know, and doing all sorts of rude expressions or going like this the whole time you're talking. Now, you can see that on a Zoom chat, so you can tell when people are having a bad attitude or a good attitude. But we've discovered another aspect of it just last Friday was Molly's dad Ken's 80th birthday. And so he turned 80, and he's got grandkids that are all over the state, all over the Northwest, far and wide. Every time we have a Thanksgiving or a family reunion, you know, some of us get together, but almost never are all of us there because different families have different obligations, right? And so just the other night, for the first time, all but one of the grandkids and all of their kids, we all got together and from all over wherever we were, and we all zoomed in and sang happy birthday to Grandpa Ken. I just thought, how cool is this? And you can see face to face, you can check in with this person and check in with this person or ask this person how they're doing. They have their first two great grandkids are on the way. And those families don't live nearby. And so we got to just give well wishings to both of those expected moms. And it was just great. So great. Molly even helped set it up that this afternoon we're going to have a Zoom chat with my mom for Mother's Day. Now, my brother lives in Cleveland. My sister lives in Tennessee. One of my nieces is in Italy. One of my nephews is in Minot, North Dakota. Guess what? We're all going to be there together in one place and wishing Grandma Fran a happy Mother's Day. Isn't that cool? If you haven't thought of that yet, feel free to steal it. But Zoom family reunions, what a cool idea. Things that come out because we're forced to do things different, because we're forced to find that relationship in a different way. But friends, it's so important for us to be able to share life together. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit enables us to do. Secondly, Jesus says about the Spirit that the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so from ancient times in the Old Testament, one of the most important character qualities was wisdom. But before I do that, I just forgot because it wasn't in my notes. Here's a picture of us and Molly's family singing happy birthday to Grandpa Ken. Does that look like fun or what? So a couple of my youngest boys never even met some of these cousins. And afterwards, they just said, Dad, we really like Mom's family. They're kind of crazy. And so things can happen just if we try to do things a little bit different. All right, forgive my ADD. Let me get back to the point I was on. The giver of wisdom. And so wisdom is a character quality in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew scriptures, wisdom is much different or much more than just intelligence. It's not knowledge per se. It's not education, although all of those things can be wrapped up. But wisdom in the Hebrew Bible is a character quality. In fact, it's mentioned so many times, it's rivaled only by words like kindness and justice in the Old Testament as character qualities that are supposed to define a godly person. And so have you ever read the Proverbs? Wisdom isn't just about book knowledge, but wisdom is about how you live your life. It's about being patient, being kind, and being generous, and being hardworking. Wisdom is about the decisions that we make. And it just dawned on me that throughout my life, even as a grown adult, how many things that I'm still feeding off of that was taught to me before I ever got to school because of a godly mother and a godly father in my life. You know, one of the first things that Proverbs says, if you're into reading Proverbs, when I was a young kid, by the way, I used to read one proverb every day. I would just start with whatever day of the month it was and then read five psalms. If you do that, you get through all the proverbs and psalms every day. Even if you just stuck with the proverbs, there's wisdom in there, friends, that will last you for the rest of your life. And one of the first things it says in Proverbs 1 verse 20, it says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. Did you notice about how the Proverbs is talking about wisdom? And once again, this is called personification. So it's not that wisdom is a person with gender, but if it was to have a gender, what is it? He calls wisdom a she. In Proverbs 4, verse 6, the proverb says, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Friends, there's something about wisdom that just reminds me of that guardianship and that protection that a mother gives to her babies. Even a mother lion or a mother bear that watches after and that teaches, just by her actions, that teaches those young lion cubs how to be lions. There's something of that impartation of wisdom that happens because of the people in our life. And I have to just go back and once again give credit to my mother. And, you know, when I first got here to this church, and I mentioned before, I was only 26 years old, which isn't very old. Some of the people were really reticent, at least at first, to have me be their pastor. I heard this frequently. They says, man, I have kids older than you. How can you be my pastor if you're not even as old as my own children? I wouldn't listen to them. Why would I listen to you? And Then I just began to preach, and all I knew how to do was this. I said, listen, I don't feel like I have life experience that's better than yours, but I've been in the Word of God since I was a young kid. I've been studying God's wisdom. I've been feeding on the things that He knows. And so I just began to preach God's Word, and people would come up to me. Back in the old days, it's been a long time. They used to say to me weird things like this, is Pastor Mike, you have wisdom beyond your years. And I knew why that was. I said, well, it doesn't come from me. It comes from the Word of God, which is beyond my years. You know, sadly, I can just admit this. I can't remember when it stopped, but at some point or another, my age caught up with my wisdom. Because people haven't said that to me in a long time. In fact, I think my age has gone way beyond my wisdom now. I'm not nearly as wise as I used to be. But the point being, even if you're young, you can have great wisdom in your life if you listen to wisdom. There are some other proverbs. Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Only a fool respects the wisdom of his mother, because there are things that we need to learn in life that you can't learn in a book. And we need to listen to our parents. We need to listen to our spiritual mothers and fathers, people that are older than us in the faith. Say, you know, I haven't been married that long, but you've been married for a long time. How did you make it this long? What's the secret to it? You'd be surprised. They're going to tell you two things. One is, well, we haven't had it perfect either. We've had our own struggles. But then wait around long enough and they'll say, you know, here's a couple of things that we've found that without this point of wisdom, we wouldn't have made it. What are those points of wisdom? I'm not going to tell you. Go ask them. Avail yourself to the wisdom of the people that God has placed in your life. If you don't, you're passing up a treasure trove of wealth of knowledge and wisdom. And so God places people in our life. Not only does he give us the Holy Spirit, but he also speaks through the Holy Spirit. And he places those people in our life to be a voice of wisdom and a voice of reason. And so there were some early church fathers in the second century. Two in particular. One was named Theophilus of Antioch, and the other was Irenaeus of Lyons in southern France, that along with the Syriac church began to identify something that was very prevalent in Greek philosophy, the idea of wisdom. The word for wisdom in Greek is Sophia, which, if you didn't notice, is also a woman's name. But the idea of Sophia and the holy wisdom, they begin to talk about something called the Hagia Sophia, the holy wisdom of God. And they begin to equate it with divine wisdom. Sometimes that word Hagia Sophia is used about the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Sometimes the divine wisdom is used about the Holy Spirit in our life. Well, this is how Jesus talked about it. So just listen to what he says. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, but the Comforter. By the way, if you have NIV, it says Advocate. I just switched it. I hope you don't mind. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And so Jesus was the one who walked the face of the earth and originally gave us that wisdom and resides at the right hand of the Father. But he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that Spirit of wisdom. And he's going to remind you of the things that I've taught you. He's going to be like that voice in your heart that reminds you of the things that God would say to you if he was here. Sometimes, friends, I've been so fortunate over the years for God just to give me just a small little word or just one or two words to say, Mike, just go left, make this decision, do this. And many times he's used the people around me. He's used my staff to speak into my life. He's used my friends to speak into my life. But I got to tell you, the two most prevalent voices in my life right now are my wife and my mother. The two voices that if I stop listening to them, I do so to my own peril. The two people that the Holy Spirit speaks to me the most through is Molly and my mom. And I just have to tell you, there are times that Molly has been able to speak things either of encouragement or even sit me down and saying, listen, buddy, you need to knock this off. And if you ever do this again, you're going to have to deal with me. And I say, okay, I get it. But somebody in my life that can speak truth in love, mostly in love, but it's always true. Somebody that can speak encouragement. I said this in my graduation from my master's degree, and then somebody came up and sang about it afterwards. I couldn't believe it. But in my little speech of just thanking all the people that have been an influence in my life, I just remember when I was praying and thinking about whether or not I should go back and get a master's degree, Molly says, absolutely, without a doubt. And I said, why? And I said, because it's what you're called to do. She goes, I know you. This is in you, and you need to do this. And I just said to all of the congregation that was there, I said, you know, it's amazing to me how often in my life the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Molly are one and the same thing. That he can speak to me through people that are in my life. And how many are grateful today for those godly women in our life that can speak into our life and that can be conveyors of God's wisdom? Guys, we all need to listen to those voices and give credit and give honor when it's time to give honor. The last thing is this, and the reason that I chose the King James version of the word parakletos, which simply means to be called alongside. It's a title. It's a Greek word that if you were to say this in a Greek-speaking context, the word that would come to their mind is defense attorney. So a parakletos means, para means alongside, and kletos means to be called. And so it means the one called to be alongside of me. And so you think in a courtroom, this is the person that is going to come up and stand by my side as my advocate, as my intercessor, as my defender when my life is on the line. Are you with me? This is the one that is called to be right there with me. There's a word in the Hebrew language, ever, which is where we get the word helper, where it says Adam had no helper. And trust me, I cannot tell you the last time I ever tried to call Molly my helper. Oh, it's just, honey, would you like to be my little helper? You can. I call my kids my helper sometimes. But she is that one that's called to be alongside of me. Ever means somebody that is that is an ally. Somebody that comes up next to you in a time of battle. Somebody that you can trust on when you're in trouble. Someone called to be alongside. And I just love that the title for the Holy Spirit that Jesus used was the Parakletos, the one called to be alongside of me. Because I think of those two people in my life that I just mentioned, and I can't think of two more people that identify and that fulfill that role better than they do. And so God has promised us something. He's promised that he would send us his comfort. He's promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And he talks about his comfort in form of the Holy Spirit. Just one last verse that people mention sometimes when people try to come over the top and say, you shouldn't talk like this at all. There's nothing of the image of God on the women's side. Then why does God say he all the time and is always a man? Is there any place in the Bible where God uses a metaphor that isn't masculine? Well, there is another one. Isaiah 66 says this. He says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is not saying you should start calling me the mother. He's using a metaphor. But he says, just as you know God's grace because of the mothers in your life, just as you know that protection, you understand what a protective mother is. He says, that's how I look after you. I look after you like that mother that's going to stand in the middle of the storm because they're looking after his child. And friends, I'm so grateful for the fact that I've been walking with the Lord since I was a young kid. Not grateful because of my faith, but because of who he's been in my life. I don't know if I would have made it without him. And I got introduced to the Lord by my mother and my father. And throughout the years, there have been times that I've really needed an example, and they've been there. Can I tell you a true story? Well, you know it's true, right? Because all my stories are true. But it reminded me of a time when I was a young kid, about 12 years old, and I had seen a scary movie, and for a lot of kids, that's not a big deal. But for me, it was traumatic. And for a season, maybe for about 2 weeks, I didn't sleep. I don't know if you've gone 2 weeks without sleep. It's a long time. Every time I closed my eyes, I'd start getting nightmares. And all of my creativity and my imagination that I use for good now, it was being used by the enemy right then to just bring fear. And I remember at one point I couldn't sleep without the lights on, or I'd sleep in front of the TV so something would take my mind off of it. And I remember for a couple of weeks my mom seeing me sleep out in the living room. And she came out with a blanket and just laid on the couch next to me. Didn't do anything, was just there. Whenever I think of this word, of who the Holy Spirit is in my life, what it means that the Holy Spirit is alongside of me, I think of my mother. I think of one of the greatest examples that I've had of that in my life. A lot of us know who that is. And maybe it's not a biological mother, but an adoptive mother or somebody that took care of you or a good friend. You know, the Parakletos comes in a lot of forms in our life. The Holy Spirit uses a lot of different people in our life. But whenever we find that, we need to recognize what a great gift it is. He places people in our life to keep that promise. I remember a story of a little boy that his mom tucked him in at night and prayed for him and prayed for God's covering and then went to bed. And somewhere in the night, a storm broke out and the lightning flashed and the thunder rumbled. And the little boy got up and ran into his mom's bed and jumped into bed with her and hung on to her tight. And she says, "Yeah, but son, don't you remember we prayed about this? And I already told you that, you know, Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us." And the little boy says, "I know, Mommy, but right now I just need a Jesus with skin on him." Sometimes more than anything, we need Jesus with skin on him. We need the presence of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But we need the Holy Spirit moving through people that are in our life, through those very special people that come and that just bring that safety. My birthday verse that I've shared with you before is this. Would you read it with me? It says, "In peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." How many are grateful for the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding? I want to show a video clip in just a moment, but I just wanted to make mention of this. I don't know if anybody guessed this, but does anybody know who that little baby is in that picture? In case you didn't, and you've probably been noticing it the whole time, that's Pastor Mike when he was just born, and that is my mom back in 1968, and this is my favorite picture in the whole world. You see it. Wouldn't it be your favorite picture in the whole world? I got to tell you, I'm 52 years old now, and still to me, that's who my mom is. Still to me, when I see her, that's what I think of. I think, wow. And by the way, just in case you've noticed, I was small at one point in my life, and you may have also noticed that as the years go by, I get a little bit balder. I get a little bit fatter. You know, you can attribute it to age. I attribute it to me just turning back into the person I was created to be, the fat little giant pink baby that God made me originally. I might not look that big right there, or like I'm going to be as big as I'm going to be, but it was only a couple weeks after this picture. I was already dunking, you guys. So it's just living proof that I was small at one point. And when I look at this picture, I tell you, I see one thing. And I wanted to show you this, not to put my face up on there, but to show you what I'm talking about. Is that long before I could ever pronounce the name Jesus, long before I was ever to read one verse in the Bible, long before I was able to study anything about theology, I knew what God's love was in my life. Because of her, because of that example, I knew what unconditional love was. I knew what compassion was. I knew what mercy is. And friends, I got to tell you, when there comes a day like Mother's Day for us just to be grateful for the people in our life, we need to take advantage of it and thank those people. Amen. I want to show you a video this morning, and then we're going to pray for the mothers and have a wonderful day. Just watch this. It's a tribute. Ooh. Can we just pray for our moms today? If you're close enough and whatever your house rules are for social distancing, if you want to put a hand on someone's shoulder, let's just pray right where we are. Let's just be thankful today, can we? Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that wherever this message is heard, Lord, that every mother, every grandmother, every great-grandmother, every sister, every friend, Lord, would just know how much we appreciate them. Lord, that there's nothing complete about the body of Christ until your image is fulfilled in both male and female. And it's because of that grace, it's because of their strength, it's because of their courage, Lord, that we can pull through. So, Lord, today I just pray for a blessing on every young mom that's got kids home today, that's got extra chores that they usually don't have during school time. Lord, that's being creative with education, that's doing extra cooking, that's doing extra taking care. Lord, I just pray that today they would be blessed and they'd know how very much we appreciate them. Lord, we just pray for your strength today. Lord, for one that is just feeling a little weary because of the journey, or feeling just worn down because of the burden, I just pray, Lord God, that you would lift that burden. Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would just pour out your grace upon them, and that they would know how much we love them. We give you the praise for them, the greatest gift that you ever gave us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. I wish I could give all of you a big hug this morning and tell you Happy Mother's Day, but have a wonderful Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for coming.